Title: Subtle Pitch Bends on Risers Masterclass with Clean Routing Intermediate. Alright, let's level up your risers in Ableton Live the way drama and bass actually likes them. Not the huge, obvious festival whoosh, but that tight, controlled pressure that feels sinister and expensive. Today we're doing a subtle pitch bend riser masterclass with clean routing. And the clean routing part matters, because when your build is happening fast, you don't want a messy project where pitch is automated in three places and nothing is easy to swap or print. By the end, you'll have a reusable template, a tonal riser layer, a noise riser layer, both feeding a riser bus, with one clear pitch control that you can automate like a pro. Then we'll add the finishing touches, filter, EQ, space, and a quick resample workflow so you can commit it to audio and move on. First, quick context. Where do risers live in D-den bead arrangement? You'll usually do a 1-bar mini riser into a fill, a 4-bar riser into a drop, or an 8-16-bar riser into a big transition or switch-up. And the longer the build, the more you want subtle movement. Think pressure rising, not giant effect taking over the track. Now step 1. Clean routing. This is the pro template. In Ableton, create a group called Riser Bus. Inside it, create 2 audio tracks, or 2 instrument tracks depending on what you're using, and name them Riser Tonal and Riser Noise. If you already have a single riser source track, you can call it Riser SRC and place it in the group, but I want you thinking in layers, tonal versus noise. Why do we do this? Because pitch bends matter most on tonal content, while noise usually wants filter movement and space. If you keep those automations separated, everything stays readable. And when the mix starts getting dense, you can turn down the noise without killing the pitch idea, or swap the tonal sound without rebuilding the whole riser. Step 2. Choose your riser sources that actually suit D10B. For riser tonal, grab wave eatable or operator. Start simple. A saw, a square, or a resish wave eatable works great. Keep voices low, like 1 or 2. Too much unison early on can smear your pitch movement, and then you can't tell if it's rising or just detuning. For riser noise, operator is perfect. Turn on the noise oscillator. We're going to shape it later with a bandpass filter so it stays tight and doesn't just become hiss all over your mix. And if you want jungle flavor, you can put a vocal stab or texture into Simpler and treat that as your tonal layer. Pitching little textures upward is a classic trick, but we'll still keep the pitch movement subtle. Now step 3. The actual pitch bend, without getting cheesy. Here's the big mindset shift. Indeed, NB, pitch is often not a literal musical transposition. It's perceived lift, so we use a tiny pitch climb, and we support it with brightness, density, and sometimes stereo width near the end. That way it feels like it's rising even if the pitch only moves a little. We've got 2 solid methods. I'll give you both, but the main masterclass approach is the macro method. Method 1 is clip-based automation. It's fast, especially for audio and Simpler. You can automate Simpler's transpose and arrangement, or use clip envelopes depending on your setup. The key is the range. Plus 1 semitone over 1 bar is already a vibe. Plus 2 semitones over 4 bars is that classic tension. Plus 3 semitones over 8 bars can still be tasteful if it's filtered and dark. And when you draw the curve, use an S-curve, slow at the start, then accelerating near the end. That late urgency reads super D-N-B. Method 2 is the one you should build into your template, macro-based pitch control. On your riser tonal track, group your instrument and effects into an instrument rack. Then map the pitch control. In wave eatable, map transpose, or if you prefer, map the oscillator pitch. In operator, map coarse pitch. Then map that parameter to macro 1 and rename it pitch rise. Now here's where people mess it up. They let the macro go too far. We're setting the macro range, not just mapping it. In the mapping browser, set the minimum at 0, and set the maximum at plus 3 semitones, maximum. Honestly, for most serious D&B, plus 1 to plus 2 is the sweet spot. Plus 3 is your a little more urgent option. Now automate that macro in arrangement. For a 4-bar riser, try 0 to plus 2 semitones. For an 8-bar riser, try 0 to plus 3 semitones, but keep it dark so it doesn't feel like a melody. For a 16-bar build, here's a spicy one. 0 to plus 2 for most of it. Then in the last bar, creep up to plus 3. That last minute climb adds panic without announcing itself too early. Extra coach move, micro-tuning. Instead of living in semitones the whole time, try sense level motion first. For example, bars 1 to 3, 0 to plus 20 cents. Last bar, plus 20 cents up to plus 1 or plus 2 semitones. It feels like tension tightening rather than we are clearly transposing now. Now, what if your riser is audio and you can't really transpose it cleanly? Use frequency shifter. Put it on the chain, set it to shift mode, not ring mod. Keep dry slash wet low, like 10 to 30% if it gets metallic. Then automate frequency upward gently. Think 0 to plus 30 Hz over 4 bars, or 0 to plus 60 Hz over 8 bars. It's not true pitch, but it creates lift. In darker DNB, that's often perfect. Even sneakier advanced variation, pitch shift only the reverb return, so your dry riser stays stable and solid, but the wash climbs. That means you get excitement without destabilizing the center right before the drop. All right, step 4. Keep the bend clean with filter and EQ. Pitch movement reveals resonances. If you don't control it, you'll get that twistly, honky moment halfway up the bend, and suddenly your riser sounds like it's arguing with your mix. On riser tonal, add auto filter as a low pass. Add a little drive, like 2 to 6 dB. Automate cutoff up slightly during the build. You might go from 200 or 300 Hz up to around 2K Hz or 2.5 K Hz. Notice what we're doing. We're not opening it to 10 kHz like EDM. We're keeping it controlled and darker. Then add EQ8. High pass the tonal riser somewhere around 80 to 150 hz. No riser should be fighting your sub or your kick. If a resonance screams during the pitch rise, do a narrow cut. And do it with intention. Hunt the annoying frequency, dip it, move on. On riser noise, put auto filter as a bandpass. Keep resonance moderate, like 10 to 25%. If it whistles, that's too much. Automate the bandpass cutoff upward slowly, so it feels like it's climbing in brightness and energy. Now on the riser bus group, do your glue. Add glue compressor with a gentle setting. Attack around 3 to 10 milliseconds. Release on auto or around 0.3 seconds. You're aiming for 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. Max. This is just to make the layers feel like one event. Optional, saturator after the glue. Soft clip-on. Drive maybe 1 to 4 dB. This is one of those density lifts that makes the riser feel like it's getting more intense without you turning it way up. Step 5. Movement without clutter. Bass and rhythm, but controlled. Create a return track called riser verb, or riser space. Put hybrid reverb on it. Use an algorithmic hall. Decay around 3 to 8 seconds, pre-delay 15 to 35 milliseconds, high cuts somewhere between 6 and 10 kHz so the reverb doesn't spray bright fizz all over your drop. Now automate the send amount from your riser to that return, let it rise through the build, then hard cut it right before the drop. That last part is huge. Too many people leave the reverb tail going, and then the kick and snare feel smaller. You want the drop to arrive clean and punchy, like the room suddenly disappears. If you want extra spice, add echo, dark, 1/8 or 1/4, feedback around 15 to 35%. Automate dry slash wet from 0 up to maybe 10 or 15% near the end. It should feel like motion, not like an obvious delay line. Pro arrangement trick while we're here. Leave a tiny pocket before the drop, even a 1/16 to 1/8 bar where the riser bus mutes or gets heavily filtered down. That micro vacuum makes the impact feel louder without you changing the actual loudness. Step 6. Resample. Commit it. Once the riser feels good, print it. You can freeze and flatten the riser bus, or create a new track called riser print. Set its input to resampling, or directly from riser bus if your routing allows. Record the build. Now you've got audio you can edit like a real producer. Tiny fades, reverse tails, micro chops, stutters right before the drop. And here's a workflow tip. Print multiple versions fast. Print a conservative one that ends at plus 1 semitone. Print a slightly more urgent one that ends at plus 2. Maybe plus 3 if you're feeling brave. Then decide in the context of drums, vocal, lead, and sub. Solo lies. Context tells the truth. Step 7. DNB arrangement ideas that really work. 1. The late lift for the first 3 bars of a 4-bar riser. Barely move the pitch. Maybe 0 to plus 1 semitone total by the time you hit bar 4. Then in bar 4, climb to plus 2, increase the reverb send, and in the last half bar, pull things back. Maybe the mute, or a filter dip, or a quick reverb cut. The drop hits clean. 2. The fake out. Rise toward plus 2 semitones, then right before impact. Dip by minus 0.5 to minus 1 semitone. That micro dip is like pulling the rug. The drop feels heavier because the tension snaps into place. 3. The jungle tape tension vibe. Keep the pitch rise small, but add tiny instability. Very gentle auto pan or wow flutter style modulation, but keep it subtle. The goal is unstable machine, not wobbly effect. Before we wrap, common mistakes to avoid. Pitching too far is number 1. Plus 7, plus 12 semitones becomes cliche instantly. In DNB, plus 1 to plus 3 is usually the whole game. Forgetting the low cut is another. If your riser eats subspace, your drop will feel weaker, even if the drop is mixed well. Over a verb into the drop, cut the send, or gate it, or create that pre-drop pocket. Steppy automation. If it sounds like it's jumping, use smoother curves and fewer points. And check if another modulation source is fighting you, like vibrato, detune, chorus, unison drift. And lastly, pitch bend without tonal support. If it's only noise, pitch movement won't read clearly. Even a super quiet anchoring layer, like a sine or triangle sitting around 150 to 300 Hz after filtering, can make the ear lock on and perceive the rise. Now a quick practice exercise to lock it in. Build a 4-bar riser into a DNB drop. Inside riser bus, make riser tonal with wavetable and riser noise with operator noise. Map pitch rise on the tonal layer. Automate 0 to plus 2 semitones over 4 bars with an S-curve. On riser tonal, low pass opens from about 300 Hz to 2.5 kHz. On riser noise, bent pass sweeps upward. On your riser verb return, send rises gradually, then drops to 0 in the last 1/8 bar. Print it. Then optionally add a tiny reverse tail into the drop, or a 1/16 stutter right before impact. That's the core. Subtle pitch, clean routing, controlled tone, and clean space management. If you want, tell me what kind of riser you're going for, like Reese-driven, noise-only, vocal texture, metallic, whatever, and whether your build is 4, 8, 16 bars. Also tell me the key or the root note of your drop, and I'll give you a specific pitch and point target, a curve shape, and a device chain that lands musically right where your drop wants to hit.